My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, as always, great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, an eventful week politically, certainly here in Washington, D.C. Let's start with what seems to be the continual slide off the fiscal cliff. On Thursday night, the Republicans tried to pass a bill that would raise taxes only on those making over $1 million a year, saying that's essentially what the president has called for. This would put the ball back in the president's court. But ultimately, the speaker couldn't get enough Republicans to go along with this. So where does this leave the debate, and where does it leave the GOP?
Well, I think you really have to look now closely at both the president and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. There has not been a budget that was produced coming out of the White House that has become law in the past 3 years. House Republicans always come up with an alternative budget. The president and the Senate do not. In fact, every Senate Democrat voted against the last budget the president sent up. I think it will now be a time when the White House will have to get serious about following the example in the House of Representatives, which made a package of cuts as well as not raising taxes and saving the Department of Defense and America's defenses from sequestration, the process which would have cut severely from it. That was a tall order, and they did it without the tax increase at all. I think that a number of the members realized this has been tried before. The proposal Speaker Boehner called Plan B was one actually offered by Speaker Pelosi, the Democrat, 3 years ago. It was tried in London by the former Labour government in 2009, and Britain right now has substantially less than the 16,000 millionaires who were affected by it in 2009. This lesson was not lost on the Republicans in the House, and the rest is history. I think they're saying to the president and to Senator Reid, ball's in your court.
John, there's some speculation that Boehner's speakership could be at risk as a result of his inability to get this over the finish line. Overreaction or truth to that?
No, I don't think that they're going to do that. Republicans historically have not ousted leaders that high in their hierarchy. I covered, in fact, was one of the first to write about an attempted coup against then-Speaker Newt Gingrich in 1998, and it never amounted to anything. Simply because enough people found out about it that he put a stop to it. Speaker Boehner is popular and well-connected with his members, even when some of them head for the high grass. I don't think there will be a move against him for the speakership, and he can be speaker as long as he chooses to stay in the job.
John, also another major issue this week. It played out a little bit on Wednesday with the president announcing Vice President Biden leading the gun control task force, and of course we got the NRA response to the Sandy Hook shootings and the public commotion that's happened since then on Friday. What do you sense is the prevailing mood on Capitol Hill where any meaningful change would happen?
Well, I do have a feeling that the odds on having a ban on assault weapons, something that was not renewed during the Bush administration, have gone up significantly with the tragic events in my home state of Connecticut. In addition, I think that there is substantial sentiment in Congress for limiting the amount of magazines that a gun owner can own. That said, I don't see it going any further. What people have to remember is the state of Connecticut already has strict gun laws on the books. They have what's called a may-issue law. In other words, when you apply for your 5-year permit to own a firearm, the state does not necessarily have to issue you one because if they look at your overall record, they may decide you're not fit to be a gun owner. That is pretty strict right there. Anything would be redundant that was passed in the federal level. And I might add that punishments for illegally owning a handgun are strong in Connecticut. The Nutmeg State does not recognize gun permits from other states. So I would simply say, I'm not sure what more they can do.
John, let's talk about some other issues that played out this week. First of all, it finally became official on Friday that Senator John Kerry will be the president's choice to succeed Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. This is considered a relief to many Republicans, given the controversy over Susan Rice, who was thought to be very much in the mix for this promotion. Obviously, John Kerry is not a favorite on the right, but it seems like even most Republicans are pretty comfortable with this.
I think so. And remember something. He's been chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, a member of the Senate for 28 years. And no matter how he came across when he ran for president, John Kerry is pretty well liked on both sides of the aisle. John McCain, who was set to lead the charge against Susan Rice, is a personal friend of the former Democratic nominee for vice president, who threw hints that he'd like to have the Arizona senator as a running mate, Republican label and all, in 2004. I don't see much trouble for Kerry, and he's someone who owns a yacht and goes sailing off the Gulf of Hyannisport. I'd say it's smooth sailing for him in this nomination. And I might add, he is the first past Democratic nominee for president to be Secretary of State since William Jennings Bryan one century ago.
I love those little nuggets. Thank you for mentioning that. Well, the Kerry nomination brings up a couple of questions, John. First of all, who might replace him as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee? And does Scott Brown have yet another Senate run in him in Massachusetts when this seat comes open?
All right. In the lineup on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Barbara Boxer of California is after John Kerry, but she seems perfectly content with being chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee. So I believe that the gavel will then go to New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, a liberal Democrat in the Kerry mold. In terms of John Kerry's Senate seat, my sources in the Bay State say Governor Deval Patrick will appoint a caretaker, very likely another past Democratic nominee for president, Michael Dukakis, who will serve for a few months, and then there'll be a special election. Several Democrats are mentioned for the seat, including the widow and eldest son of the late Senator Edward Kennedy, the Republican who has the nomination for the asking, Scott Brown, who won a nationally watched special election for Ted Kennedy's seat 2 years ago, lost to Democrat Elizabeth Warren. I spoke to Rob Wellington, one of his political consultants. He said Brown's ready to go for the Senate.
John, I got to ask you, though. Scott Brown ran in 2010. He ran in 2012. If he runs in 2013, he's got to run again in 2014. Can anybody do that four times in 4 years?
Well, he's got a lot of stamina, believe me. And, you know, he's a reserve officer. I think he just might be able to. Already, if he runs and wins, he will be the first senator to be defeated for re-election to one seat in his home state, only to go on and win the other. And the last person to do that was Republican Slade Gorton of Washington State, defeated in 1986, rebounded in 88.
Ah, it's even better than having a political encyclopedia on your shelf. John, can't let you go without asking you this. Who is the conservative of the year at Human Events?
Someone who has been tested, tempered like steel, forgave his opponents, and emerged triumphant from a test few politicians have to endure, recalled and triumphant Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, the fighter with a heart.
Fabulous work. Thanks, as always, for being with us, and have the merriest of Christmases.
Ditto, and a Merry Christmas to you, too, Greg, and a Happy New Year. Lots to talk about in 2013. Keep those special elections coming and keep me working.
Absolutely. John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.